inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Today we're going to talk about Douglas County Chapter of Oregon Women in Timber. Tiffany Roddy of Roseburg Forest Products, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So I guess first of all, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do at RFP.
Yeah, so my background is in forestry. I have 2 degrees from back east in forest management, and I've worked here in the forest industry for about 14 years.
Now, how did you get interested in forestry as a career?
So I was really lucky in high school to have a teacher that had the Envirothon program, which, you know, kids got to learn about water and wildlife and soils and, of course, forestry. And if I wouldn't have had that program, I wouldn't have even known this was a career I could take. So I've always tried to give back and be involved with forest education programs, and OWIT has quite a great one that we'll talk about here in a minute.
So how long have you been at RFP?
I've been at RFP for 5 years, but again, here in Oregon in the industry for about 14.
And what is, for what you do now, what's a typical day like for you?
So as a forester, there are no typical days, which is really great about the job. It's really based on the biology of the trees and the weather and what's going on. So you might be planting trees or out with a helicopter or fighting fire or fertilizing. I mean, it's a different day every day.
And how much time do you spend outdoors versus in an office?
As a forester, you'd hope it'd be 100%, but there's always a little bit of paperwork. So I'd say if you're lucky, you'd spend about 75% outdoors.
And what led you to RFP?
Well, I really liked that it was a family-owned timber company right here in Douglas County, and it's not just forest land, it's also wood products as well. So there's a myriad of different jobs that you can come into in this industry and this company.
Now, you said you got into this because of a class you had. If you hadn't have taken that class, what do you think you'd be doing now?
Oh, man, I'm not sure. It's hard to speculate. I'm just super grateful that I had that class.
Now, let's talk about Oregon Women in Timber. Tell us more about the organization and its purpose.
Yeah, so Oregon Women in Timber, or OWIT, it's a nonprofit, and their mission is to create awareness and appreciation for the value of trees, to encourage understanding about the protection, management, and conservation of renewable forests.
And, of course, October is Forest Products Month, so we kind of have this special emphasis going on right now. How long has Oregon Women in Timber been around?
Well, we've been around since 1978, if you can believe it.
And do you know what led to it starting?
It really started with folks that wanted to get out and, you know, just increase awareness about this great industry, how important wood products and forests are, not just for our local economy, but for society at large.
And I would imagine a few decades back that women in timber was kind of an anomaly.
Yeah, for sure. So if you think back to 1978, there still were a few women around, but not as much as there are today. So our membership makes up not just women who work in the woods or in mills, but also associated folks. So think about women who work at insurance companies that provide benefits or coverage to our industry, or accounting firms, law firms, wives of foresters. We're open to anybody, and we actually don't discriminate. We have some male members as well.
Now, is this part of a national group?
Yeah, so in 82, we joined Federated Women in Timber, so that's kind of like a national group of women in timber as organizations, but I think they disbanded in 2011. So we still exist despite the national termination, but we're also an affiliate of the American Agri-Women, and we participate in their annual fly-ins as our funding permits.
Now, for forestry in this area, I mean, it's a big deal. You've got a lot of organizations. There's been a lot of shifting over the years, different regulations. What's your favorite part about what you get to do?
As a forester?
Yeah.
Just getting to go out of cell service and get paid to watch sunrises and sunsets and do, you know, a pretty physical job.
Now, it's interesting because people like me, we get nervous when we don't have cell service. So how do you make that work?
You know, I would say that it scared me at first, but it really was quite a blessing to be able to do, you know, having worked retail in high school and throughout college, being able to go out and do a job solo with my dog and, you know, not having a boss breathing down your neck. That's what anyone can dream of for a job, right?
And what do you learn looking at trees when you're out there? I mean, you're out there for a specific project or whatever, but it seems like just being in the forest, if you take it from the angle that you have with your background, is almost an everyday learning experience.
Yeah, there's always something to learn. I mean, our whole profession is based on science, which is constantly updating. We're getting new studies done all the time from anything from, you know, trees to soils to wildlife. So you have to be a continual learner. I kind of worry if anyone says that they already know everything, because that's just not how being in the woods is. You're always learning. You're always observing. There's always something new technology. So it's really a great place to work if you're into continual learning.
And what about the impact of all the forest fires in the last few years on forestry?
Yeah, it's been pretty tough. I'm sure as folks in Douglas County are aware, we're no stranger to fires. I mean, our company alone, we've had about 50,000 acres of our land impacted by large fires coming off of public unmanaged lands. And so, I mean, that has impacts way down the line. It's not just today. It's, you know, in 30, 40, 50, 60 years when we're going to need those trees to be harvested. We're going to have issues then. And that's, you know, the thing about forestry. We're constantly looking really far ahead.
You know, when we went through the Archie Creek fire, it took just 4 years ago, just getting past the initial incident, when you start studying this and realizing that whether it was your company or other owners, you had stands of timber that were 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, and on up from there. And suddenly everybody's back at zero.
Yeah, and so what's really hard to explain is that the way we treat our forests is it's an investment, right? So we're paying to plant trees, we're paying to make sure that they survive, and we're realizing the return on that investment at the end of the harvest cycle. So imagine if corn took 40 years to grow and you didn't get to sell it until you actually cut it down. Same thing with trees. So when you're nowhere near the actual harvest, I mean, you're having to basically pay to get it ready to plant again and then pay to plant it again. So yeah, it's a double whammy when you get hit by a fire like that.
And of course, initially, as the private lands were cleaned up, we had a lot of logs going through the mills, but now it's a little quiet.
Yeah, and you know, ideally, once you have an event like that where, you know, the trees are dead, but they're not completely burnt through, it's ideal that you get in and harvest those within a year, year and a half. You know, if you leave it standing dead, you'll get things like blue stain or bugs will come in, and then we really can't use it. So, you know, as private landowners, with that being our business model, you know, we were really incentivized to get that stuff, one, cleaned up so it didn't burn again, and two, through our mills so it becomes a wood product where it stores carbon instead of emits it in a subsequent fire.
And when you're out, of course, we've got this checkerboard pattern in the woods of privately owned land and land owned by the state and federal government and all that. When you look at the state and federal lands, it's a kind of a different picture in terms of what's happened after some of these big fires.
Yeah, I don't want to say the complete opposite, because they are going in and doing what they can, but you know, their hands are legally tied. And it is quite a shame, because it is checkerboard ownership. We are in a lot of that. And, you know, we try to be good neighbors as far as being landowners with, you know, smaller private folks, and we're not getting that from some of our public lands. So, you know, when we get these dry lightning storms or huge east wind events like what we had leading up to the Archie Creek fire and other fires, I mean, it's going to burn again. That standing dead timber will either burn or it will break down, releasing carbon into the atmosphere. So it's a lose-lose, whether it's a fire or purely from a climate standpoint.
All right, more with Tiffany Roddy when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245, a News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson is coming up in a few minutes. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, we're going to talk to Will Lathrop, candidate for Attorney General, as we're scheduling in more interviews with candidates as we get close to the general election. Tiffany Roddy in with us right now from Roseburg Forest Products and Douglas County Women in T. Timber. Let's talk more about the Oregon Women in Timber, the Douglas County chapter. What are some of your goals?
So our founders, they saw a need for an organization to basically educate people about the importance of timber and the people that work in the woods, and that's kind of our goal still to this day.
And what are some of the things you do to make that happen?
So we focus a lot on the educational side of things. So back in 1981, we developed a fourth grade program, and our members went out to teach in local schools. In 1991, we adopted the Talk About Trees program, and we've been doing that ever since. It's basically hit over 3.5 million participants here in Oregon. They're offered for free to pre-kindergarten through eighth grade students, and teachers can request the program at talkabouttrees.us/for-teachers-in-schools. About in 1982, the logging conference up in Eugene asked OWIT to present demonstrations of the new fourth grade forestry program that we're using through Talk About Trees. So now we present that for local fourth and sixth grade students. And then we also have some programs on Saturdays during the logging conference, during the family day event with children. So we do things like building bird feeders, making paper, and other tree activities to bring awareness to our industry. And you might be aware, if you've been up to the logging conference, our biggest fundraiser is our annual auction, which we hold each year during the logging conference in February at the Graduate Eugene Hotel. Funds from that auction support our Talk About Trees forest education program.
Now, as you're doing the these talks with kids, is that like a one-day thing, or is it, do you come back multiple days? How does that work?
For the logging conference, it's one day where we get so many buses of kids through, but it's pretty in-depth. You know, we'll cycle students through, have a classroom portion where various instructors, myself included, take the kids and talk to them about, you know, various aspects of forestry. And then they also get to go out to the equipment zone and learn about logging equipment and talk to professional loggers.
Now, do you go sometimes to individual classes around the area as well?
I have up in the Lane County area, and I know some of our members are a little more involved with their schools. Some are parents and have a more direct line, but I've done career fairs. I've gone in and done, you know, talking about forestry, just really whatever the teachers want or need, we're here to deliver.
When you're out doing that, are you surprised sometimes about how many kids, whether it's Douglas, Lane County, whatever, haven't really had the opportunity to get out into the woods that much?
Oh, yeah. We have another organization that also participates and talk about trees up in Lane County where we take kids out to the woods. And I don't know how many times I've heard kids go, this is my first time being out in the woods, living in Eugene. To me, that's a sin in this beautiful area. How could you not go out to the woods? So we're doing great work in getting the kids aware of our industry and aware of the forest management cycle.
And we hear this, whether it's forestry or fishing or other things, sometimes here as well, where some folks are pretty centered in their job and the day-to-day thing and sports with kids or whatever. And you ask a kid in Roseburg if they've ever been to Crater Lake and they just look at you.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. We have such a beautiful backyard here in Douglas County. How can you not? So we're trying to step in and provide that pathway for kids to not just learn about it, but be aware that it is a career that they can have here with a good paying family wage job, and they don't have to leave for that.
And talk about, when you mentioned good paying jobs, about how jobs in forestry and timber, how they compare with some of the average jobs in Oregon.
So I know we are over the average median wage. County by county, I believe it's about 12% in the forest sector. I can't really remember Douglas County's, but I think it's actually higher just because we are the heart of the timber industry in the state.
And as well, the idea from past decades about not needing some of the education in terms of technology and all that. I mean, timber forestry has really changed versus the old days without technology.
Yeah, we are relying more and more on technology, you know, not just in our manufacturing facilities, but out in the woods. So I'm sure some of you might have heard about tethered logging. You know, that's the newest and coolest technology. There's technology training programs where we can put kids in a video game trainer instead of, you know, throwing somebody into a brand new multi-million dollar machine. They can basically play a video game to train. And then, of course, there are drones.
And opportunities in other areas for careers, what kinds of things are out there besides being directly in the woods?
So, yeah, I mean, it's not just working in the woods or working in a mill. You know, there are all of these supporting industries around ours. So think about accounting, legal, insurance. Think about, you know, all of the money you spend on the way to and from work. I believe for every dollar here in Oregon, it's or in the county spent, you know, in employee payroll, there is a multiplier on what that means to the community around it. So it's not just insular in our industry. It ripples out into our surrounding communities, which is super important in our rural areas.
Now, for Oregon Women in Timber, obviously it's in the state. There are other groups around the country, though, right?
Yeah, there are other groups. Another one that has a pretty big involvement is down in California. So that's the California Women in Timber, or CWIT. But here in Oregon, we have 8 chapters. So Clatsop County, Coos Curry, Douglas County, the Landing Chapter, which is Polk, Marion, and Yamhill, Lane County, Portland Metro, Union County, and we also have a student chapter up in Sweet Home.
And you wouldn't necessarily expect to have one in Portland Metro.
Yeah, kind of crazy, huh? But there are some forest companies that are headquartered up there, and I believe that some of the office ladies and foresters, they've gotten some chapters going, and they have a pretty good turnout.
And Timber even got attention in kind of a unique way, a multi-year project that just kind of wrapped up with the terminal redo at the Portland International Airport using all that timber, including some from tribal lands here from the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians.
Yeah, I haven't been up to see it, but I've seen photos and it looks beautiful. It's a complete mass timber wood roof, and everything in there is sourced from Oregon or locally in Washington.
So about a minute left here. Tiffany Roddy of the Douglas County Chapter of Oregon Women in Timber. If people want to find out more about your group, whether they're in the industry or they're just interested in the industry or want to get their kids interested, how do they get connected?
Yeah, head to our website at orwit.org. That's orwit.org. We're continually updating our website. You can also sign up for our newsletters or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, or you can join. We're only $40 per year for a membership. Again, we don't discriminate. We welcome guys as well. High school and college students are free. And you can also see our work for Forest Products Month around Douglas County. Coffee sleeves will be at your local coffee shops. We'll have different radio ads that play daily. I think I'm coming back next week to talk to you. And we should also have Forest Fact Fridays postings on all of our social media. So reach out, get in touch, and we'll put you in where you can be involved in the best way possible.
And if somebody has not thought about a career in timber, but they're kind of approaching a career decision, why do you think timber or forestry would be a good one?
Because it's a truly sustainable industry. We're never going to run out of trees, and I can't think of anywhere else where you can put in hard work and do a job that feels good and is just great for what society needs.
All right, Tiffany Roddy of Roseburg Forest Products and the Douglas County Chapter of Oregon Women in Timber, thanks for coming in this afternoon, and we'll be talking to you again this month.
Awesome, thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.